We cry out to you as a people, Lord, in this dry and thirsty land we live in. Lord, nothing can sustain us in this hour but that word from your throne, Lord. We want that which reaches within the veil of your presence, Lord. Lord, behold the threatenings on every side of the wicked one. The mischief, Father, and those that would oppose your anointed, Lord, and your people in this hour. And we cry out to you as your sons and daughters, Lord. Only your word can keep us from falling. Fill us again, Lord. Lord, light the fire in our hearts, Lord, and cause us to stand and do all the stand and make our feet like hinds' feet, swifter than our enemies, Lord. Sharpen our swords tonight, Lord. Light the candle of our hearts and through it cause us to run through a troop and leap over the walls of the powers of darkness. Lord God, we need your grace and power in this hour. Lord, we don't want to be content with how far we've come, but Father, we're crying out for a visitation of your power and your presence in our lives and in this place like we've never known or seen before. We're desperate for you, Lord, in this hour. Wash us with the washing of the water of your word tonight. Fill these lamps with the oil of the Holy Spirit and power. And let the fire of God burn brightly, Lord, within our hearts and lives. And we would walk out with the face of Jesus Christ emanating from these clay vessels. We're thirsty for you, Lord. We wait for you. Our expectation and hope is in you and you alone. We open our mouths wide and we ask, Lord, that you would feed us tonight, Lord, and fill us again. And we trust, Lord, you'll do it by your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Glory to God. Well, if you believe that, say amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, it's such a blessing to see you all in the presence of the Lord and just so thankful to be home, praise God, at the headquarters. And so thankful for just a privilege to come and see your faces and your pursuit of the Lord and of His presence and just believe in God to speak to our hearts tonight. So many things in my spirit, just as so we've been waiting on the Lord and looking to Him as here we are in yet another year. How disappointed it is. I hope we had been long ago in His presence, but also excited because you know it's the long suffering of God. Few more souls to get into the ark, amen? And just believing that He'll use us in this hour. And so we want to take time and look into His holy word and familiar passage in Habakkuk chapter 2 and just begin there and see what Father has for us. And it's been a season as we enter into the new year that though we know in Jesus every day is alike, there is a time in most of our lives that you do take time to look at where we've been and how far we've come and what the Holy Spirit is speaking. We listen to the heart of the man of God as the oracles of God come from this altar and to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And I pray tonight that you could look beyond the clay vessel and open up your hearts and ears and just really hear the voice of God in this hour. And I could think of no better place to start in Habakkuk, and we know in chapter 1 it began in verse 1, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. And if there was ever an hour we need messengers of God that can see not only for us as His people, but first into the heart of God. You know, these prophets of God in this book that we hold in our hands, and a book, God have mercy, how much we take for granted this sacred writ. Holy men of God that shed their blood and wandered in dens and rocks and caves of the earth, looking for something that was to come and never received the fulfillment of that promise in this life. And yet these holy men of God came, and as Hebrews chapter 1, each having in divers manners and places and times something that would give us a reflection of the heart of God, the nature of God. And they would bring the burden of God's heart. And I pray in another way, in another manner, that somehow you could feel the heart of God for His people in this hour through the words of these prophets. And as we look here, it was a time of impending judgment. In fact, if you take time in Habakkuk, you would see it was really a pouring of his heart and really his complaint to the Lord as he was seeing the impending judgment that appears to have already begun. But he stands in the midst of it to cry out to God, and he pours out his heart. And we get in chapter 2, and after he finishes pouring out his heart, he says, I will stand upon my watch and set upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And I believe we're in an hour that, if ever it was an hour, that we need to quiet ourselves in the presence of the Lord. And as we hear the oracles of God coming forth from this pulpit, as pastor stands as a mouthpiece of God, as a true prophet of God, bringing the rebukes, the corrections, the instructions, the commandments, the precepts of the Lord, the testimonies of the Lord, that it's an hour that we needed as we're facing a war in the heavens that never a generation has seen. And we've talked and we've heard from the Spirit of God of in this hour, and you don't have to look far and long to see the vexations of the wickedness of the age. Every day the groanings, the sighs for the abominations. Can you remember with me Ezekiel the prophet, where he told the angel of God, go throughout my people, and everyone that's sighing for the abominations of the people, mark them, because everyone who's not marked, I'm going to come through and send that death angel, and the judgment's going to smite them. Is there a sighing in your heart for the abominations we're surrounded by, the blasphemy of our God, the blasphemy of His laws? And when we're standing in this hour, those groanings, the cry, the affliction of His people, the trials and the tribulations you find yourself in, it's not by accident. Marked of satanic powers, targeting your life from morning to night, day after day, because of what you're representing in the kingdom of God. And though we've seen that, and it brings a sobriety and a pressing in and the seeking of the face of God, I believe we're standing at the precipice, the threshold of a manifestation of God's power and the remnant of His people like never a generation has ever seen before. Because if the wickedness, as we are so well instructed and aware of, and the iniquity is abounding and waxing worse and worse, and iniquity abounding, and while we know the love of many will grow cold, there is a bride that's a preparing, amen? There is a true ecclesia of God that has come out from among them, that is separated to the Lord God, that are being prepared as a mighty army of His people. And I want to stir you up tonight to ask for the latter rain. Ask ye of the Lord, Zechariah 10 says, for the latter rain. That time in which God would come and to the agricultural society that their livelihood, everything depended upon their harvest. And in large, even their animals for the feeding of them and the nourishment, the strength of them. And it all rested upon the rains. And when you read there in Zechariah 10 and you pour forth over those verses, or Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 13, where the Lord says, He will give you the latter rain, those that are loving the Lord their God with all of their heart and cleaving to Him and hearkening diligently, He said, I'll give you the early and the latter rain. In other words, it's not going to come upon all. It's not going to be found of the disobedient. It's not going to be found of the lukewarm. It's not going to be found of those that have forsaken their first love. That latter rain is going to come for those that are crying out to God, that are asking, Lord, give us the clouds. Give us that rain in this hour. Rain upon us that it'll cause the fruit in our lives that is almost ready for harvest, that latter rain that they so desperately needed. The crop is there. The fruit is there. It's almost ready for harvest. But you got to have that latter rain or it'll just wither and die. Heaven, we heard, wouldn't it be so sad to come this far and wither and die in these final hours? What a tragedy it would be that all of the battles and the wars and the trials and the tribulations we fought and everything you've resisted and what you've been, many of you young people from a child, you've known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation. Second and to the third generation. Let me tell a lot of you young people, to whom much is given, much is required. You need to be better than us. It ought to be said that we have killed our thousands, but you've killed your 10,000s, as they sang of David. I thought to myself of the abominations that I was raised in as a young person. Never knew the Scriptures. Never heard of anything about regeneration, born again, till I was long given into sin and wickedness and all matter of iniquity and abominations of the world. Raised in Egypt, raised in all of the filth of this world and the pollutions. And there's many of you in this room, you've known nothing but the presence of God and the words of the prophets and messengers of God. And I say this to stir you to an expectation and an asking and a crying out in your life, God, use me. That cry we've been hearing repeatedly, where are the miracles that our fathers told us of? But we live in a generation and find ourselves sometimes trembling behind the rocks because of the Midianite oppression. That we could come from the presence of God and smite the Jordan in our generation and cry out, "Where is the God of Elijah?" So much has been given to us. And that grace is there and that grace is working in us. And yet there's a deep burden because we know you're facing powers we never faced. You're facing powers of darkness as young people that we don't have a clue of what it was like when we were kids. And yet when we see this, there, he's crying out for that burden, that vision of God, Habakkuk, and he's listening, he's on his watchtower. I trust you've been on your watchtower. Have you been listening to the voice of God? Have you been listening to the words of his messengers and that word that's coming forth, and you're taking time in that prayer closet and shutting the door of the world and cleansing ourselves from all of the vexations of this life? Just listening for the heart of God in this hour. And I just see here as he's crying out to watch and see, he's pouring out his heart. There's great warfare. There's great impending judgment. And we've been standing an hour and watching the arrows of Satan flying by day and the pestilence and all of the reproach and the wickedness on every side, and even very personal to us individually and as a flock. And he goes on and he says, "I'll answer when I am reproved. God, I know I don't see like I need to see. God, reprove me. Search me, oh God. Try me and know me. Examine my heart and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." We take time as we're in this new year, and a God, as Daniel said, who changes the times and the seasons. We're in a new season. Can you say praise God? We're in a new season. More battles to be fought. I can think of so many years so vividly as you'd get on that jet. There was just something about when the wheels would leave the ground from this place that you know there's a lot of hell awaiting you. There's a lot of war and bloodshed in the spirit and powers of Satan and opposition and victories and souls at stake, that there was just something as I'd hold Karen's hand and we'd be in prayers, that jet would lift off the ground and you could feel those wheels when they left, and it's like, here we go. All the word is good and sitting at the table and all of the feasting on the wisdom and the counsel of God, and but now it's time to go to war. But in reality, it's really like that for us regularly. When you go out that door, man, it's just like those wheels are lifting off the pavement. It's like, here we go. But I say, let's have at it, man. And as we see this, the heart of the prophet of God is crying out, "Lord, I'll listen to that voice." And I believe God is just preparing us in this hour for a day and an age of warfare that we've never seen before. And I believe it's going to require a power. that I've spoken of. I can't think of something that to me just burns in my heart, such a vivid image of those prophets of God that are prophesying and moving in great power, and they're slain in the streets in the great tribulation, and all the world rejoicing. And their bodies are just in the streets, and you can imagine on every news channel and network and all of the ticker tapes and everything that's going on. And right in the midst of it, God raises them up. A voice comes from heaven. Come up here. What a picture of the church. What a picture of us in these last days amidst the persecution and the opposition of the enemy, that God would use us in this hour to work His works, that through these clay vessels, these hands, signs and wonders and mighty deeds would be wrought in the name of His holy servant Jesus. God wants to use you in a mighty way. And I just want to stir you, I just sense that burden to be asking God for the latter rain. That Jesus who said, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. If you'll seek for me and search for me with your whole heart, I will answer you. A God who's going to show us great and mighty things. And I sense in the Spirit we're at the threshold of something, of an outpouring and a move of God, that an outpouring of His Spirit upon the remnant of His people. And it's going to be that latter rain, according as we read in Deuteronomy 11, to those that are loving Him and following those commands and those charges. And so here we are. I think of Daniel when he said those words that I was quoting just a moment ago, of he was seeking God, and we, you know, Nebuchadnezzar was there, and he, you know, he had the dream, but he couldn't recollect it, and he's asking all of his, you know, his interpreters, and they can't bring anything, and now he's going to slay all of these that are there, including these young Hebrew boys, and word gets to Daniel, and they begin to seek God and ask for that audience, and he gets into the presence of this king, And the scripture says that in verse 9, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. And then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. In Habakkuk, where we just left, that word came to him when he said, write the vision that he may run that reads it. And we are a people that are being given the vision, the burden of God, the heart of God for us and His people in this hour. And He said, write the vision and make it plain on the tables that he may run that reads it. It's time for us to run in it. We've studied it long enough. We've dissected it doctrinally. It's been line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, for years to prepare us for such a time as this. And now's the time, praise God. This is the time for that holy remnant army to rise up against the powers in this flood of darkness. That's going to continue to increase in momentum and power as Satan knows that his time is short, and with great wrath he's gone out. But I believe there's going to be that remnant of his people, and as Daniel was speaking here, and the king was so troubled, and he comes before the king, and the secret was revealed unto Daniel. And I believe the secrets, the mysteries of God are coming forth to us. We're in a generation that are myriads, just multitudes that are in confusion. and bound by the powers of darkness. Believers that have lost their resting place and have wandered from mountaintop to hilltop and have forgotten where the resting place is. Others that have been beat up and tore up. I remember years ago when I was in the sanctuary in Baltimore and Brother George would, and some of those brethren there would move and worship in such an anointing and power. And it was one of those times where it was a cloud that filled that sanctuary. It was one of those times and moments where there's nothing to do but just let God be God. And one of those extraordinary experiences I know in my own life, but it was like that cloud filled and I no longer could see the people. And the vision of God came and all of a sudden I'm just looking across this vast rolling hills and rocks and scraggly, you know, just rough looking brush and bushes and all you could see was lame and sick and bruised and battered and some laying on their sides and some limping along and battered and beat up sheep. And I could see some in the rocks and the caves looking, hiding for fear and others were just dying of thirst and others were diseased and running sores and I looked at this and that word of the Lord just came, this is the condition of my people. And it was just that spirit of the compassion of Jesus when he seen the multitudes. I just sensed the heart of God, just that heart of Jesus that was moved because he seen the people scattered as sheep without a shepherd. And they're fainting and collapsing in the way. And as wicked as it is out here, there's a lot of people that are just beat up and dying and they don't know the way out and they need someone to rescue them, praise God. I think of that passage in Isaiah 32 where he said, I'll make you as a hiding place from the tempest and like that refuge from the storm as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And just, you know, that my heart was just smitten and I won't go on at length, but just the burden for souls. The burden for the lost, the burden for those that are dying and those that are just needing that touch, that love of God, that mercy of God. And I kind of see the king just, you know, here he is. Just racked with torment. You're surrounded by people. It was interesting as I was walking with Pastor in the mall today and Buffalo's a little different than Loudoun County. Just a little bit. But one thing that struck me so strongly as I'm walking through and as we're talking at moments, you look into people's eyes. And as you well know, I mean, I'm not exactly a genius on fashion and, but you know, you can tell when you're around people of opulence and far more sophisticated than yourself. And you could just, but when I looked into their eyes, the eyes are the same. And you have the wealth and you have all of these things and yet you're, the emptiness, the loneliness, the torment. And here's the king of all this power and yet he's in torment and no one can show him the truth of his vision and the truth of what's going on. And Daniel comes. And I believe God has his Daniels, praise God, in this place that have been separated to their God. And they have said, we don't need the king's dainties and we don't want his meat. Our God will sustain us. We can live off this pulse and he'll make us 10 times better. And Daniel comes and he speaks and he says, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And he changes the times and the seasons, and he removes kings and he sets up kings, and he gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. And he reveals the deep and secret things. And he knows what is in the darkness, and then the light dwells with him. And he's just giving God praise. And I thank thee and praise thee, O Lord God of my fathers, who's given me wisdom and might. And you've made known unto me what we desire of thee. For you have made known unto us the king's matter. If we can just go out into this generation with that worship of God, that our strength and our power and our vision, it's all in Him and Him alone. Amen? That recognition of the source of all life and light and truth that we have in Him. And He comes and He says, as you look on down, verse 36, I mean, as we look on down here, and He's speaking first here that, you know, he's changing, he's doing something in the spirit, and so Daniel's interpreting it for him. He said in verse 27, the secret which the king has demanded, cannot the wise men and astrologers and magicians and soothsayers show unto the king? The soothsayers of this generation, they don't have an answer. All of the world's physicians and all of their philosophies, it can't remove the torment of men's hearts and that power of the gospel that's in you today. The power of God unto salvation, that word from heaven that God has put in our hearts, and He comes and He says, in verse 29, and for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon the bed, and what should come to pass hereafter, and he that reveals secrets makes known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living. Amen. We're just men of like passions. You go forth out there to this generation and say, I'm no different than you in the flesh. Amen. I'm a mortal man just like you. And I wrestle with everything you wrestle with that's sinful against God in this clay vessel. But let me tell you about one who's the light of the world. Amen. Let me tell you one who has power like you've never known before. And he begins to unfold the vision and the revelation. And I just wanted to draw that here we are in a changing in the spirit, and there's warfare, and I don't want to get bogged down here, but I just wanted us to see, as Habakkuk said, write the vision, make it plain upon the table. And I believe there's oracles that are coming, and we're getting it here in this place, and it's ours as messengers of God, as ambassadors of Christ. We come and speak into the secrets of men's hearts, this gospel and the pure message of the cross and the love of God and the mercy of God. And what none of the astrologers and soothsayers, the philosophers and everything that's in this age and hour can do, you have a message from God that can set them free. Can you say praise God? It's in you. You could read in Joseph, you know, in his life in Genesis 41 and 16, very similar. As Pharaoh's tormented, what is the meaning of these fat and lean and this devouring, this great harvest? What is this? And supernaturally God just pulls Joseph out of the dungeon, and by His sovereign power and in the timing of God, and a man whose feet have been in fetters prepared for such a time as this. And he unfolds the heart of God and gives God glory. And here we are in this hour as a people. And the word of the Lord, the oracles of God are coming through His messengers and through His visionary. And those that God has placed and we're partaking and we're getting the heart of God and we have this vision and that mandate and God is saying there in Habakkuk, you know, that the vision, He said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables. And I believe it's been made very plain to us. And just this hour, you know, as we crossed over into the new year and we were in the sanctuary crying out to God, and I just sensed the Holy Spirit, the cry that was coming out literally at that time as we were entering into the new year was just that travail. Lord, give us Your heart for the harvest of souls and what You've called us to in this hour. And help us to be faithful, Lord. And I know that's been the cry of so many of you in this room and that mandate, that vision that's being put forth to us and it's been written and made plain so we can run that read it. And when I look at that, I just think of in this hour that, you know, Jeremiah, what he said, I'm going to gather the remnant of My people from all of the places where they've been driven. And I'm going to set up shepherds over them. And they're going to feed them. And they're going to be fruitful and increase. And I believe, before we talk about what God's called us to out there, we're a remnant that's been gathered here. Somehow we survived the slaughter. Somehow that remnant, that sharif of God, that surviving portion after a great slaughter, often of the judgments of the Lord and the judging of wickedness, and somehow by the mercy and the grace of God, we've been spared. Do you see the privilege that we know this day? Do you understand the honor that we have as the sons and daughters when you look at the masses and the multitudes and do you see God, who am I in my house, as David said, that You brought me this far? Who am I? What is man that You're so mindful of us and that You would visit us in such a way, and yet here we are by the grace and mercy of God. And you're standing today, praise God. Hallelujah. And you've survived great slaughters and temptations and the arrows of the enemy. And you know, whenever that launching, that laboring, that endeavor, my mind goes back often to Ezra's, that judgment had come on the nation, because I really see a lot of what happened in the move of God in these past number of decades was a great move, a remnant people that God called out of Babylon to go rebuild the temple of God. And it was such a small remnant, it was some 42,000 and servants, and we've read this story often and many times in Ezra. But it was everyone whom the Lord has awakened or revived, whose heart God has stirred, Ezra 1, I believe it's verse 5. Every one of you, King Cyrus said, whose heart's been awakened. It's that Hebrew word, yur, that talks about an awakening, a stirring, an arousal. A brandishing of a sword before a battalion. It even had to do with like a triumphant cry to go forth to battle. And I believe a standard has been lifted up before us. I believe there's a battle insignia that is before us. You know, I think of the tribes of Israel, and each one had their insignia, their banner for their tribe. I kind of liken it to the body of Christ, and you know, everyone has their diversity in God of the remnant of His people. And here we are, and that battle cry is sounding, and the standard is raised, and that sword that would be brandished before the army to stir up the remnant of his people. And though they went out, we know it didn't take long after all of that journey and the hardships that they were forced to cease the building of the temple. It said by force and power. By force and power. And you can read that in Ezra 4 and verse 23. That by the king's decree, and I just wanted to say, here we are and we're pursuing that. That vision is coming, and here we are in an hour and the burden of God, and yet with force and power. And we've had an onslaught of the powers of darkness with force and power to, in attempts to cease the building. And on the outside, it did cease momentarily, but it didn't stop. Because God looked upon it and he raised up his prophets, Haggai and Zechariah, to stir up the people. How can you sit in your sealed house when the house of God lies waste? It's time to build, and God uses those messengers to stir us. And I just see that in this hour there's that opposition. Sometimes that word in Revelation 12, you know, when you read that, those great visions of John the Revelator, but as that woman was looking to bring forth the man child, Satan was just waiting to devour it at its birth. And just that principle of satanic powers, that when things are birthed of God, whether it's the move of God, the people of God, that word's coming, he's always coming to just devour and through force and power to try to cause it to cease. Aren't you thankful we have power to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm us. Amen. That no weapon formed against us will prosper, and every tongue that rises up against us we shall condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. I like there when you read in those prophets, and you know, when they were building that temple, you know what was going on. They're surrounded by enemies on every side. And even as they were building the temple, there's no walls, just rubble and things. And God says, listen, everyone who touches you touches the apple of my eye. Hallelujah. You're the apple of God's eye. He that touches you touches the apple of my eye. And he says, I'll be a wall of fire around about you. Hallelujah. There's a lot of people that have some great walls, but I'll choose my God as a wall of fire. Amen. The biggest walls in this world, even the Eldoret wall. Our God's a wall of fire around about us. And the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, they stir up the people. And in Ezra chapter 5, it says that as they were prophesying to the people and stirring them up, and I believe there's been that prophetic word that amidst all of the attacks and the onslaught of the enemy, in chapter 5 and verse 1 of Ezra, Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, they prophesied unto the Jews that were in Jerusalem, in Judah and in Jerusalem, in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. And then rose up Zerubbabel, who was the governor, the leader, and Joshua, the high priest. And they began to build, or it was, in fact, to build again the house of God. And with them were the prophets of God helping them. And when you look and you see what's going on of as they're coming and they're bringing this stirring to the people. And then even the enemies come and they start to surround them and saying, you know, who gives you the right to do this? But when you read the story, it says, but the eye of God was upon the leaders. That favor of God. And we've seen the powers of Satan come with great ferocity and force and power to try to stop and hinder and silence the word of the Lord. But through the prophesying of his servants, don't trust in sword and spear. Don't lift up your own voice. Don't look to the arm of your own strength. Our eyes are upon him. And the people prospered through it. And you know, when we look at it, we just see that in this hour that God sustained them. And I just see the powers of the enemy that are being hurled at us as a people, as a flock, and individually in your own life. How the enemy's coming and you're looking to move out in that greater boldness and to see changes in your life. And here you are entering in the new year and we're believing God, and yet the powers come, the opposition comes, and you can feel it. And I just want to encourage you that these words of the prophets, they stir you up, and you keep fighting and you keep building, and the eye of God is upon your leaders, and your God is a wall of fire around you. And we have no worldly power. We have no great forces in the natural of what we're against. That's not our strength. It's not our power. It's not what we're trusting in. But that God who raises a standard against the enemy. You know, as they would prophesy, the people would be stirred up. Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 1, one of the things that happened is it says that I saw Joshua the high priest and Satan standing at his right hand. Joshua the high priest in this time. I don't know that we will ever comprehend the powers of Satan that are opposing his priests. The accuser of the brethren. The railer, the slanderer, diabolos. And those satanic powers that are working the kingdoms of this world, those Samaritan hearts, that mixed breed of people. Tobiah, that Hebrew name, but an evil heart. And there they are, and God comes down in Zechariah chapter 3 and visits the high priest. It always must begin at the house of God. And it begins in the hearts of the leaders. And the blows and the reproofs of God and the rebukes that a true leader has to endure and to be proven through fire and have the heart of God, the layers of humanity that are stripped away and just the glory of God that can clearly come and shine through them to his people. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Hallelujah. Who said it? The Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you. You know, when our hearts have set out as the remnant of God and we're longing to be used of God and to build the work of God, there's going to be those times as even as Zechariah comes and Satan is opposing and God intervenes by his grace and his mercy and sends a Zechariah and is seeing visions in the spirit realm, and he sees satanic powers, but he sees what God is doing, and he says, the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke you, O Satan, even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Hallelujah. Where that brand plucked from the fire? Those two legs and a piece of an ear that the prophet Amos said. One of a city and two of a clan, and God somehow out of the myriads of people and the masses that even have sat in your seat and passed through these doors for years and generations, and here you are as a people for such a time as this. And at times we're going to find ourselves weary, beat up, clothes dirty by the world, but God in His mercy and grace, when your heart is to do His will, and I want your will, Father, I want to honor you with my life, and in His grace He comes, and He sends His messengers. And He says, and Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel, and he answered and spoke unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him, and said, behold, I've caused your iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe you with the change of raiment, and let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. I'm telling you, the angels of God are here. Mighty in power, hearkening unto the voice of His word. You remember that passage, I'm Gabriel that stands in the presence of God. Can you imagine the power of that being that just stands and waits, and when orders are come and ministers as flames of fire, hearken unto the voice of His word. Sent forth on missions from the throne of God in this world. It was late October. I was really tired. Cancer again is in Karen's body, and we're looking to God and just believing Him for His touch again, and just really tired, and took a time to get away for a few days and was resting a little bit. And I can't describe what happened, but it was just in the middle of the night. And I could say it was just, I've never experienced anything like it, but all of a sudden, poof, and I could just see the vastness. It was like looking at the heavens, and it was just broad, along like terrain and masses of people, and there was, you could feel the fear gripping the air and terror. It was like a cataclysmic event was about to happen. And I'm looking, and I'm just standing in the crowd, and the masses are holding on to each other, and it's like everything is shaking, and you could feel the heavens shaking, and it was like, it looked like rockets just soaring in different directions, and everyone is just standing there fearful and amazed, and it was just whew. And now I know some of you are thinking, now Pastor Tony, I heard they got good pizza in Buffalo, and you know. And I can only tell you by God, I've had few things happen like this, but I felt when I was there, I've never experienced, and I'm looking at it, and I'm watching them, and they're soaring, and you can feel like the heavens are stirring, like something is about to fall, and you can feel the fear and the terror, and all of a sudden I looked at it, and everyone's looking, and they're confused and dismayed, and I just pointed in the heavens, and with a loud voice, I said, it's the angels of God, ministers as flames of fire. And the heavens just begin to scroll, and it was like it was coming down like a huge cloud, and all of a sudden, poof, and I woke up in a cold sweat. And I felt the voice of God saying, are you going to be numbered among the remnant of my people? And I felt it like God saying that the messengers of God in this hour, the missions from heaven, and you have a mission. Each one of us individually, corporately, what we're doing as a flock, sent on mandate from God, a vision that's been set before us, and no different than those angels of God that are flying from missions and things going on in the world that would boggle our imagination if we could see in the spirit realm. And I just felt like the Lord just saying, are we going to sanctify ourselves to be used in this hour? And I believe we're ready for it right now. If we can seek unto our God, if we can let Him just continue to cleanse these garments, I believe we've got clean garments on. That mitre that gotten lost, and we know that mitre on the priest would have that gold plate that said, holiness to the Lord. Separate from the world, separate from its wisdom, separate from its powers, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Empowered of God, on mission from God, messengers of the Lord of hosts. You come and encounter people, you're one of those messengers of God, no different than the angels of God, ministers as flames of fire. The word of the Lord is in you. The power of God is resting upon you. You are that remnant in these last days. And we can look at this generation and you walk out your door in the morning and it's no different when you get in the spirit like Ezekiel being carried into the valley of dry bones. But the Lord said, can these bones live? Ezekiel prophesied to those bones. Hallelujah. Prophesy to the bones. Go out there, praise God. Prophesy to this generation. Speak that heart of God, the love of God, the coming judgment of the Lord and the mercy and the blood of the cross. It's no time to be joking around, saints. We are in the final moments. It's time to be asking for the latter rain. It's no time. Is it a time for houses and lands and clothes? The prophet said to Gehazi. Is it really a time for that? It's a time to seek unto our God. It's a time to prepare to meet our God. It's a time to move with fear as Noah, to prepare that ark for the saving of our house, to condemn the world, and to become an heir of that righteousness of God, which is by faith, speaking in our hearts, to bear in our body the marks of the Lord Jesus. And as we see this in this hour, and as I close today, I just sense the Holy Spirit of God. You can see so clearly the resistance. You know, times where I'm there in the warfare in Buffalo and all the souls we're encountering and the warfare and the opposition and things going on, and I put pastor's teachings on, and I can feel in the spirit what he's warring against, just as these prophets of God kept stirring the people up as we're being threatened by the powers of darkness and anything the enemy can do to distract, to entangle, to delude, to entice, to drag around, to occupy, to oppose, to blaspheme, to oppress. He is throwing everything he's got at you to just shut you down. But I say by God, through that prophetic word, if we'll just keep receiving and open our mouths wide and drinking and crying out for that latter rain, praise God, I believe he's going to answer. And it may look like a small cloud in the air, but I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Hallelujah. Can somebody say amen? Amen. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. And I just believe God's called us. And what I seen that night, I just see that we have mission, we have mandate from God, and in the midst of these shaking and what's going on in this world, and we don't have a clue of what we're heading for and how long we'll be here before the Lord takes us out. But I believe by God we need to reach every soul and just be crying out to God. And I believe he's raising us up. As the prophet Micah said in chapter 5, I will take of you that was just a halt people and make of you a mighty nation. I'll take of you as a halt remnant Now, I know you thought you were better, but that's really all that we are without them. And I'll make you a mighty nation. And that word, you know, I tend to go back to Joshua every year, and I can't help but go on into a new year and thinking, there's much more land to be possessed. You can't sit here slack. Joshua 18 and Joshua 17 and verse 17, Joshua 18 and 3, you read there in Joshua 13 and 14, but where he just said, you're a great and a mighty people. And just that heart, as we enter into what Father has ahead that Caleb had, as I started those 45 years ago, so my strength is this day. Give me this mountain. Would to God there could be that, just as it was when I first began with that first love 45 years ago, so I am this day. Give me this mountain. And I believe God's going to answer. I believe there's that outpouring that he's looking for a people to show himself mighty. Praise God. He's the wall of fire around us. You're the apple of his eye. The vision is made plain. Let's run. And this is might. Amen. Father, we thank you tonight for your word, Lord God. And Father, as we stand in these last and evil days, we're desperate, Lord, to go in this only the might that'll sustain us, Lord. That angel's food, that message from heaven, Lord. We need the words of these, your prophets, Lord, that we can finish the building, Lord. We can finish what you've called us to. Lord, we don't want to come this far only for the labor to be in vain and to perish, Lord, in this final hour. Lord, your coming is at hand, the signs on every side, and we're just crying out, Lord, as your people, give us the latter rain. Rain upon these hearts, Lord. Fill the sanctuary with that glory cloud again. Lord, just cause us to go forth from these doors with your countenance radiating from our faces, God. And when we walk into a Safeway or a supermarket, just the glory of God is shining from these clay vessels because we're beholding you face to face. Lord, that we'd walk out of your presence, Lord, with your anointing dripping from our hands, and wherever we go, that the power of God is burning in us, Lord. Lord, we're crying out. Help us to walk in that. And Father, when these garments become dirty and we become weary and discouraged, Lord, let this word stir us again. Hallelujah. That we can say to our enemies, as Micah said, rejoice not against me, O my enemy. My God is with me. Hallelujah. And we'll tread you down. And he's for us, and his angels are here, and the eye of God is upon our leaders. Hallelujah. And our God is a wall of fire around us. Oh, put that mitre on our heads again, Lord. Holiness to the Lord. Separated to you and to you alone. That crown of your anointing. Hallelujah. Father, use us at this hour. We're so grateful, Father. You're good. Hallelujah. It's just your mercy and grace that has sustained us. And help us to finish the race, Father. Help us to reach every soul. Use us in this final hour, Lord. To snatch from the fire, Lord. To deliver and work through these hands, Lord. Signs and wonders. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, and help us to stand as these faithful servants and say, there's nothing we can interpret to you but our God. He reveals secrets. It's our God who's in us. And we bear that glory to this generation through these clay vessels, Lord. Hallelujah. Use us, Lord. Help us to be faithful. And we'll give you all of the praise. We'll worship you forever and give you the glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Let it burn in our hearts, Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. We worship you, Lord. We thank you, Father. Holy, holy, holy. Worthy is the Lamb. Blessed be your name, O God. Blessed be your holy name. Hallelujah. Put that fair mitre, Lord. Give us those clean clothes. Make us that remnant army without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, Lord. Hallelujah. Show us your glory, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Father. Glory to God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, if you believe that, say amen. 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 Thank God for each and every one of you. And just again, a privilege to see each and every one of you again. Always such a joy to be with you all. Our prayers are with you all in the battle. Keep praying for us. And keep shining. The Lord's coming. Praise God. And there's a few more brands to pull from the fire. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Pastor, anything? Glory to God. Well, greet one another and say, stir up the gift of God. Amen. God's grace and God's love go with you.